Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 57 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jacob Lindberg.
He will be prosecuted at the federal level, and we take this very seriously, and we're going to send a message.
Rowan County schools went on lockdown today, and a high school student was taken into custody.
Roads in Carter County suffered during weekend flooding, but very few private residences were affected.
A Lexington lawmaker supports armed guards in schools.
Governor Matt Bevin says gun laws won't prevent school shootings.
Moorhead State University is eliminating some administrative positions to save money.
In sports, 16th region basketball action begins tonight at Johnson Arena.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Clear skies overnight with a low of 35 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Rowan County school officials will seek the harshest possible punishment for a student who allegedly threatened the district on social media this morning. All of the district schools were placed on lockdown after students told Kentucky State Police about a classmate who had posted a photo of himself with a BB gun on social media. Superintendent Marvin Moore says there were no weapons found at the school.
We checked everything. We checked the whole building out. We checked the rooms he was in. We checked his backpack. And the BB guns that he refers to as BB guns, they're at home. They're now out there now. His father is there, and the state police and the county sheriff and city police are talking to him right now.
Moore says charges against the juvenile are still pending.
A high-speed chase and car wreck Saturday night led to multiple charges against a Moorhead man. Police say 30-year-old John Hall is charged with speeding, fleeing, or evading police, reckless driving, wanton endangerment of a police officer, and driving under the influence. Moorhead Police Captain Kyle Callahan says police pulled Hall over after receiving a reckless driving complaint. When they asked him to exit the vehicle, he refused and then drove away.
He then led him on a pursuit that exceeded 100 miles per hour out I-64, then exited at 801, and then he went to Blue Bank Road. And when he went to Blue Bank Road, he drove about a mile and a half out, lost control when he wrecked.
Callahan says a passenger, 32-year-old Jenna May, was arrested for public intoxication. No one was injured during the pursuit or accident.
An inmate at the Greenup County Jail has died. According to WSAZ, the inmate was suffering some sort of heart problem around 10 a.m. Friday. Paramedics took him to a nearby hospital where he passed away. Jailer Mike Worthington says the inmate was picked up on a Boyd County warrant and was a fugitive from justice in Ohio. The inmate's name is not being released until his family has been notified.
Flooding over the weekend caused little harm to a Carter County community. Carter Emergency Management Director Roger Dunphy reports there were no injuries and very little private property damage in the Rush area after heavy rains caused some high water situations there.
It's very hilly, mountainous area, and the biggest part of that is runoff from the hills, and it fills up those creeks and streams, and before long, the little bigger rivers are backed up. And I think also a lot of it has come from the fact that the Ohio River is so high that the little Sandy and Tiger that empty into the Ohio, they've got nothing to empty into, so the water has backed up that way, too.
Dunphy says Carter County officials are checking for road damage around Rush. He says while some residents left their homes voluntarily, no one had to be evacuated, and there was no need to open an emergency shelter.
Motorists in Carter County can expect Kentucky 1626 to be closed tomorrow due to bridge repairs. The work is expected to last from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. and should be completed by the end of the day. Alan Blair is with the Kentucky Department of Highways.
So basically our structure crew will do some patching on the concrete surface of the bridge. That will require a temporary closure during the day.
Depending on weather conditions, the repairs may extend into Wednesday morning. Motorists may reroute using US 60, Kentucky 3296, and Kentucky 3297 during closure times. Motorists are asked to follow all warning signs, slow down in work zones, and remain aware of workers and construction equipment while commuting. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 30 years. The Center for Gifted Studies is now accepting applications for middle and high school summer camps, including the 35th Annual Advanced Placement Summer Institute, June 25th through 29th. More information at 270-745-6323 or online at wku.edu/gifted.
Lexington Congressman Andy Barr supports adding armed guards to schools to make them safer. According to Spectrum News Pure Politics, the Republican thinks school districts and parents should work together to make voluntary decisions on how to best access funding to pay for armed security guards for schools. Barr adds many members of Congress agree with him.
This is personal to many members of Congress. My good friend and colleague Steve Scalise was the victim of a gunman on a baseball field, and if it wasn't for the brave response and the quick response of the Capitol Hill police, it would have been a catastrophe on that baseball field. So a well-trained armed security guard can make all the difference in preventing these tragedies from being even worse.
Barr rejects claims that Congress has done nothing to reform gun laws. He cites a bill that he co-sponsored in 2016 called the Helping Families and Mental Health Crisis Act, which changed medical privacy laws to permit family members of those who are mentally ill to stop potential violent incidents. Barr also called on improvements to the national instant criminal background check system in hopes of preventing potential shooters from buying guns.
Governor Matt Bevin is in Washington today. Governors from across the state, or the nation rather, are meeting with President Trump to discuss the gun debate. There have been two major school shootings since late January, one in Kentucky and another in Florida. According to Bevin, the issue isn't guns, it's society as a whole.
I think it's important to look at everything. And by everything, I mean not those things that those seem imperatively in their minds to focus on, but to look at what we are doing to our young people, the use of drugs, the depression, the lack of engagement by parents, the lack of morality in our society. We need to look at everything.
The Kentucky governor was speaking to NPR's Morning Edition.
The president of Ashland Community and Technical College plans on stepping down. WMKY's Ryan Fry reports.
According to the Ashland Daily Independent, Kay Atkins will retire at the end of June after holding the post for 5 years. Atkins says it's always been her plan to make the position her last job. During her tenure, she has overseen a number of projects, including most recently creating a training program for prospective workers at a planned Brady Industries aluminum mill. Her departure comes as all Kentucky community and technical colleges are making plans to cut operating budgets and raise tuition. KCTCS President Jay Box will meet with the ACTC board on March 2nd to lay out the process and timeline to hire a replacement. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Ryan Fry.
Morehead State University will eliminate a handful of positions in an effort to reduce administrative cost. The plan was announced during a Board of Regents work session in Prestonsburg last Thursday. MSU President Jay Morgan says the savings will total over $1 million.
So sum total, one VP position, three or four assistant VP positions, and then just a small handful of director positions. And it gets us a tremendous amount of savings, all in the name of trying to safeguard our classrooms.
The move comes as Morehead State anticipates a $10 to $12 million deficit as a result of state budget cuts and increasing pension costs.
Morehead State University is evaluating its campus facilities this spring in an effort to save $500,000 in operating costs. MSU Assistant Vice President of Facilities and Operations Kim Oatman spoke with the Board of Regents during a special meeting and work session last Thursday. Oatman says changes need to happen to anticipate budget shortfalls as well as performance-based funding.
We've got some open spaces here and there, and programs spread around here and there, and so looking at trying to reshape things so that we can save on utility dollars and just become more efficient as a campus.
Oatman says at this point, the facilities task force has evaluated Laughlin, Lloyd Cassidy, Butler Hall, and Weatherby Gymnasium. The four buildings cost MSU nearly $600,000 a year to maintain. The Board of Regents will review the Facility Committee's final recommendations at the next regular meeting, which will be held March 29th.
The Kentucky Public Service Commission has approved an agreement that will give participating electric utilities more flexibility to transfer equipment to each other. State law requires PSC approval of equipment sales or purchases in excess of $1 million. However, today the PSC agreed to pre-approve emergency transfers of large electric system transformers. Andrew Melnikovich of the PSC says that this will make a big difference to how emergencies are dealt with.
Those big expensive pieces of transmission gear are not something that utilities keep a lot of on hand in inventory because they're extremely expensive. So you can't afford to keep a bunch of them just sitting around. So what they've done is agreed to pool their resources and help each other out in times of either outages or some other threat to the stability of the transmission.
The PSC is an independent agency attached to administrative purposes, to the Energy and Environmental Cabinet.
An Inez man has been appointed as Deputy Commissioner of the Department for Natural Resources. WMKY's Peyton Stewart reports.
John Small spent 38 years in management positions of the local coal mining industry. He retired in 2015 from Excel Mining, a subsidiary of Alliance Resource Partners, where he served as Vice President of East Kentucky Operations for 9 years. Small served on the Board of Kentucky Mining Institute and as President for Post 2 of the Smoke Eaters Mine Rescue Association. Small is a graduate of the Leadership Kentucky program. Reporting for WMKY, I'm Peyton Stewart.
Vanceburg's mayor is concerned about the potential impact of Kentucky's legislature's public pension reform plan on his town's budget for the next fiscal year, which starts July 1st. If the proposal stands as is, Ginn says the city will have to spend another $900,000 to $1 million for its workers' retirement plan contributions in 2018-2019. Ginn says that could force the Vanceburg City Council to find new revenue to pay for that increase.
We discussed payroll tax increase last year, and nobody was really for it in preparations of what was to come this year. And sad truth, nobody wants to raise taxes, but it's getting down to the point just about every city's going to have to just to be able to maintain everything else. If not, everything else has to suffer, so.
With the state Senate expected to pass a public pension reform plan later this week, Ginn says the Vanceburg City Council will hold a budget workshop to discuss the pension dilemma along with other financial issues.
Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin and U.S. Representative Hal Rogers announced a $3.4 million project Saturday to fix water supply issues in Martin County. According to WYMT, the plan involves increasing water intakes, upgrading a dam, and improving the Eastern Kentucky County's water treatment plant. Money for the project comes from the Kentucky Division of Abandoned Mine Lands and the Appalachian Regional Commission. Several residents, such as Charles Thompson, are concerned that the money won't go towards the project.
I don't figure it'll be spent on it. It'll go somewhere else.
Officials with the district say they plan on bringing in a second party to help manage the funds. The Martin County Water District has a history of water outages and has been featured in several national publications in recent weeks.
Former CIA contractor Carl Nett announced plans to run in the Republican primary for Secretary of State. According to Spectrum News, the native Kentuckian who ran for the state house in the 35th District against Representative Jim Wayne is the third Republican to seek the nomination. Nett worked as a Secret Service officer and a contractor working with the CIA's National Clandestine Services. Nett released a video Friday saying the Commonwealth needs a Secretary of State willing to work alongside the governor.
Our governor, a leader committed to actually solving problems, needs an Attorney General and a Secretary of State who will work with him, not against him, to fix the damage of nearly a century of one-party rule. And quite frankly, he needs an anti-establishment ally to hold the equally corrupt GOP establishment accountable.
The election for Secretary of State is an open seat, as the position currently held by Allison Lundgren Grimes is term limited.
Taking a look at your weather forecast tonight, clear with a low around 34 degrees. Tomorrow sunny with a high near 63. Tomorrow night, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 45 degrees. On Wednesday, a 70% chance of showers, cloudy with a high near 58. And on Wednesday night, showers with lows around 50. In Flemingsburg right now, it's 54 degrees, in Ashland 57, Winchester 56, Inez 56, and here in Moorhead, on the campus of Moorhead State University, it's 57 degrees.
On our feature segment today, Moorhead's Theater Guild will perform its rendition of the satirical comedy Nooses Off this weekend. WMKY's Brian Courtney has more.
The play is being led by first-time director Roger Fisher, who explains Nooses Off is a play layered within a play.
Nooses Off is a parody about an amateur theater group that is putting on a parody. Nooses Off is a parody of the popular work Noises Off. In Nooses Off, this small group of actors is producing a show entitled Nine Little Indians, which is a parody of the Agatha Christie drama of Ten Little Indians. And I guess if you're completely confused by now, you just have to come see Nooses Off to get it all figured out.
Fisher says the production has really come together during rehearsals.
What has been a real treat for me as a first-time director was seeing the cast going from really working at it to getting it right to the point where they really enjoy what they're doing.
As Fisher noted, this will be his first experience with the Guild as a director, and he's grown into the role in helping the actors develop their roles.
I've tried to be a director who can be appreciated by the people who are on stage because I've mostly been on that end of it, but the challenge of getting my ideas across to other people and at the same time letting those people put their own personalities into the characters that they're developing. And as we head into the final week of preparation for it, then I think the director's going to have to play a little bit more of a role on how things go.
As the days close in before the first performance of Nooses Off, Fisher says he and his troupe are working harder than ever, and the adrenaline is starting to flow for them.
Well, we're all tired. We've been rehearsing each night. But at the same time, as you get closer, the long-lasting adrenaline, I guess you would call it, kind of takes hold, and you can see some excitement being welled up into them, and to the point where now we're almost ready to put something on for an audience. You get to that point. So at this point, we're all tired. The anticipation is really growing.
The Moorhead Theater Guild will be performing the show at the Rowan County Arts Center from Friday, March 2nd through Sunday, March 4th, and then again the following weekend. The Friday and Saturday shows will be at 7:30 p.m. with Sunday matinees at 2 p.m. Tickets are $10 for adults and $5 for students. For WMKY, I'm Brian Courtney.
It's 4:48 and 57 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Jacob Lindberg, and we're so glad that you've joined us on this Monday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Moorhead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Moorhead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moorheadstate.edu/innovation.
High School Madness. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The 16th Region Girls Basketball Tournament tips off with a pair of games at Johnson Arena in Moorhead this evening. In the 6:30 matchup, 23-8 West Carter faces 10-18 Greenup County. West Coach Aaron Rayburn believes his Lady Comets are firing on all cylinders right now.
But yeah, I think so. We got Morgan Berry. She's back and she's almost full strength, and that just makes a big difference for our team.
A junior, Berry is averaging 10 points and a team high 5.5 rebounds a game. In Game 2 tonight, Coach Bill Bradley will have his 25-5 Ashland Blazer Kittens on the floor against 18-10 Menifee County.
We drew the mystery team, in my opinion. You know, Menifee County's kind of far away from everybody, but they're a matchup problem for us, you know, with the Hacker girls 6'3", and the Widow girls 6'6", 6'. For us, it's a matchup problem.
Tomorrow night in first-round play, Boyd County will battle East Carter, and Russell will face Round County. The Boys 16th Region Tournament has its first-round games on Wednesday and Thursday at Johnson Arena. On day one, Morgan County plays Ashland Blazer, and Raceland will challenge Bath County. The following night, it's Boyd County against Elliott County and Lewis County versus Round County. Round beat Lewis during the regular season, but Vikings head coach Sean Thacker says that means very little now.
Not a lot you can go on that game. You know, we'll go to the drawing board and get ourselves prepared. And, you know, coach does a great job, and, you know, we'll have to be ready to go.
Winners of the 61st District, the Round Boys will start region play with a 16-14 record. The new college basketball AP Top 25 poll is out. WMKY's Greg Jenkins reports on that.
Virginia is the number one team for the third straight week after clinching the ACC title with a pair of victories last week. Michigan State remained steady at number two, while Xavier moved up a spot to claim the number three ranking. Villanova fell just one spot to fourth after losing an overtime game to unranked Creighton over the weekend. Duke is still number five. Kansas, Gonzaga, Purdue, North Carolina, and Cincinnati round out the top 10. Kentucky's recent winning streak was enough to earn a spot in this week's poll. After 2 weeks out of the rankings, the Cats are back, coming in at number 23. Auburn and Tennessee also represent the SEC, checking in at number 14 and 16. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
Athletics Director Mitch Barnhart maintains the University of Kentucky has not been contacted by the FBI or the NCAA in connections with an investigation into the alleged pay-for-play scandal involving college basketball. Yahoo Sports reported on Friday that former UK players Nerlens Noel and Bam Adebayo, along with current Wildcat Kevin Knox, were given thousands of dollars by former NBA agent Andy Miller's ASM Sports Agency. Speaking at a news conference on Friday, UK coach John Calipari had little to say on the matter.
I know nothing more than you guys know, and that's why there's no reason for me to speak on it. You guys know what I know. So,
Kevin Knox did play in UK's Saturday win over Missouri, scoring 21 points. Meanwhile, a report from ESPN over the weekend claimed the FBI had a wiretap conversation between Arizona head coach Sean Miller and an agent discussing a payment of $100,000 to ensure that Arizona star freshman DeAndre Ayton enrolled at the school. Miller did not coach in the team's game on Saturday. However, Ayton, the projected top pick in this summer's draft, did play after Arizona did a, quote, internal review and found that his eligibility was not in question. Because of the scandal, class of 2018 power forward Shareef O'Neal, the son of NBA legend Shaquille O'Neal, decommitted from Arizona, Kentucky is the early favorite to land the four-star big man. Saturday's season-ending 70-66 win over Eastern Kentucky left the Morehead State men's basketball team hungering for bigger things in 2018-19. The Eagles finished with an 8-21 overall record, but closed with back-to-back victories over UT Martin and EKU. Looking ahead to next season, sophomore guard Jordan Walker says that's big.
That's very important. It gives us a lot of confidence for next year, especially the offseason, where we're going to be in the gym in the offseason just to build off of this, because it's a great feeling, and we want to feel this all the time.
With a roster that had no seniors on it and only two juniors, the Basketball Eagles are scheduled to return all 12 of their players next season. One note from OVC Basketball, Eastern Kentucky University has fired head coach Dan McHale following a disappointing 11-20 season. McHale was 38-55 overall and missed the OVC tournament all three seasons at EKU. Meanwhile, the Morehead State women's basketball team will take part in this year's OVC tournament after they beat EKU on Saturday to finish off a 21-10 regular season. This is the third time in 4 years the MSU women have made the OVC tournament, and Coach Greg Todd is pleased with where his program is.
It's been all positive, and I think our fan base is getting better, and I think the future is good, and it's definitely a good, fine group of young ladies. We're very excited about what our future holds with some of the girls that are in our program and ones that are coming in.
The four seed in the tournament, the MSU women, will battle fifth seed Jacksonville State on Thursday at 2 p.m. It was a good weekend for the Morehead State Baseball Eagles. Tyler Neiman and Nico Hosizer both homered Sunday as the Eagles won at Alabama A&M 7-1. The victory gave MSU coach Mike McGuire's ball club 3 wins in 3 days over the Bulldogs, which he says, looking ahead to OVC action, that's critical.
There's a big difference between 2-1 and 3-0 in a weekend. And to me, if you want to finish second in the league, you go 2-1 every weekend. You know, if you want to win the league, you got to make some sweeps in there, because you may have that weekend where you lose 2 out of 3.
Now holders of a 5-3 record, the MSU baseball team plays its home opener on Friday against Illinois State. And finally, in sports, the Winter Olympics ended over the weekend with United States claiming 23 total medals. The number fell short of expectations for the Americans, who saw Norway, Germany, and Canada finish with more. Norway led the total medal count with 39. Norway and Germany both tied for the most golds with 14. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Season tickets are now available for both Eagle baseball and softball. Baseball welcomes Illinois State this weekend, and softball hosts the Morehead State Classic March 10th and 11th. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks closed sharply higher, regaining now more than half of their correction level losses amid a stabilization in interest rates. And at the close, the Dow Industrials finished with a gain of 399.28 at 25,709.27. The S&P 500 was up 32.3 at 2779.6, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 84.07 at 7421.46. The Dow was led today by a strength in telecommunication stocks, technology, and financials. And among big blue chip stocks, Berkshire Hathaway led the charge higher with almost a 4% gain. This after the CEO, Warren Buffett, told investors that should the company fail to find any new market bargains, it will likely return cash to shareholders. The CBOE Volatility Index, which is the market's best fear gauge, hit a low of 15.97 in a choppy session, and this is its lowest level since February 2nd. The NASDAQ was boosted by gains among your FANG stocks as well as Apple. Apple finished with a gain of almost 3% today, and Apple was up nearly 2%, and also the NASDAQ was helped out by Intel, as Intel was up almost 3%. And as mentioned, the so-called FANG stocks, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google parent Alphabet, have now returned to pre-correction levels, and all four of those stocks were very strong in today's trading. And, of course, Amazon is now over $1,500 a share. GE, on the other hand, will continue to be weak today as they broke below $14 a share after naming three new directors to its board. The latest depreciation in share price comes after months of turbulent times for the original Dow member. They, of course, have now a new chief executive officer, and he is actually pledging to trim the company by exiting several businesses. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.7% at $64 a barrel. Gold was up 0.3% at $1,335.10 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were strong with the Stock 600 index up 0.5%. And in Asia, stocks were strong as well with the Nikkei up 1.2% and the Shanghai Composite up 1.25%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Cisco and 3M. The worst performer was Coca-Cola. In the S&P 500, the best performers were HP Incorporated and Qualcomm, and the worst performers were Albemarle and Citizens Financial. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 5 cents at 71.47, CSX up 37 cents at 56.21, AEP down 39 cents at 66.98, AK Steel up 15 cents at 5.65, Marathon Petroleum down 52 cents at 66.29, and Community Trust Bank was down 10 cents to finish at 45.05. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR provided by Downtown Morehead Incorporated, presenting the 13th Annual Morehead Antique Market, March 4th and 5th at the Morehead Conference Center. On-site appraisals by Tom Clark and Richard Mook from KET's Antiques Collectibles TV show. The Morehead Antique Market at the Morehead Conference Center, Saturday, March 4th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sunday, March 5th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. More information on Facebook under Downtown Morehead.
Taking one last look at your weather forecast, clear tonight with a low around 34 degrees, tomorrow sunny with a high near 63, and tomorrow night a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 45. In Flemingsburg right now it's 54 degrees, in Ashland 57, Winchester 56, Inez 56, and here in Morehead on the campus of Morehead State University it's 57 degrees.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Cody Robinson, Sean Delaney, Logan Pemberton, Ryan Fry, Peyton Stewart, Tilden Johnson, and Braxton Howard. Hilliard Lyons Bud Luke chipped in, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Brian Courtney. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jacob Lindberg and all of the MSPR news team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.